everyone. Welcome to the Before It's Too Late podcast. I'm Brooke.
And I'm Maddie.
And today we have our guest.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Megan Phillips. Hello. How's it going?
Great.
Yeah, I didn't expect questions coming this way. It's going just dandy. Yeah. How are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. Thanks. It's been a good week.
Good.
Thanks for making time for this. I'm glad it was a good week.
Yeah. Of course. Chipotle incentive is also awesome.
Yes, I did promise you Chipotle for coming on the show, so we're going to make it happen.
Yes.
Very excited.
All right. Well, Megan, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So I'm studying, I'm just a Bible general major. I'm looking to study counseling. Get my master's hopefully and get certified. I'm in my third year bachelor degree is in sight, and yeah, I'm from the East Coast, so I'm from New Hampshire.
Very cool.
Hour north of Boston.
I don't think I've ever met anyone from New Hampshire.
Really?
Yes, I think you're the first.
Wow. It is a small state.
Trying to have self-control not to bag on New Hampshire right now.
Don't be a hater, man. You've been.
I have. It was lovely. I got to visit you this last summer, and that was really fun.
Aww. Yeah.
You gotta come in the fall. That's the best time. Mm-hmm. We are known for our fall colors.
I came this summer. Not the best time.
It's beautiful.
It's still fun. Yeah.
Does it get really hot in the summer?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and we have all the seasons, for sure. Mostly winter. But
yeah. I wonder what that's like, living somewhere where there's actually seasons.
Mm. I mean, we go through seasons here, but it's more like seasons of debt, season of like, being hungry, you know, different kind of seasons.
Yes, I feel that. And you're attending the Master's University.
I am.
Very
I am
cool.
Attending the Master's University.
Best school ever, even though I never went there.
I think we have a huge appreciation for it because it's played a big role in our lives.
Yes, sure. Absolutely.
Megan and I met.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you.
Yes. Randomly matched up as roommates, turned us into best friends. Mm-hmm. The Lord is good.
He is. I still call you my roommate, though. Like, so many times I've been like, oh, I gotta find my roommate. I mean my best friend. Just Megan. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
They being the general people that I talk to.
Yes, on a daily basis.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, Brooke, do you want to ask a interesting question about Megan?
Yes. Megan.
Yes.
Megan. What is your favorite holiday?
That's
ooh,
a good one.
I like that question. I don't know if I want to go cliche and say Christmas. Groundhog's Day does have a place in my heart, but that's just because my birthday is on Groundhog's Day.
Okay. So it's like a double whammy.
Double whammy.
Yeah, Jesus' birthday probably trumps my birthday, though. I think Christmas is probably hard to beat.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a good question.
I feel you right there. I just, like, I can't get over Christmas. When it's not Christmas, I wish it was Christmas.
Yeah, I hear ya.
Sorry about the
hoodlums.
Background. Hoodlums, the back passers by. I will say, I don't understand people whose favorite holiday is Halloween, personally.
They have a dark side in their soul.
Halloween used to be my favorite holiday until I became a Christian.
And I understand you now. Really? I didn't know that, actually.
I really liked being able to dress up and like be something I wasn't. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was fun.
Yeah.
Ooh, that actually makes sense.
Yeah. It was never because of, like, the devil or anything.
Right.
Like that.
No. I mean, candy.
Candy, too. Mm. I mean, you get free candy.
True.
I mean, what kid wouldn't love that?
It's true. Mm. It's pretty epic. I think I just get grossed out by the smell of the fog machines. I know that's weird, but it's true.
No, I totally get that.
Yeah.
And so many houses here have those.
I think of all the weird smells that come with Halloween. The fog machines and, like, the cheap plastic people leave in their yards for decorations. I'm like, I don't know. I'm weird about plastic, though. It just grosses me out. Okay. Well, I have a question for you, Megan.
Shoot.
Can you name a couple of reasons why California would be better than New England?
Wow, that was really targeting. Yikes. You guys, I gotta give it to you. You have the weather, and that really makes for, like, happier people, because you don't have to go into hibernation for, like, 9 months. Mm-hmm. So people are generally more, like...
I would love that.
Yeah, I would love that, but after like, you're, like, 16, you're like, okay, I'm out.
Yeah, I say that now, but...
like, few years But
then you get there, and you're like, ah. Oh,
honestly, though.
I'm going crazy.
Everyone is so happy here. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not necessarily super nice, but they're really, like, happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's really interesting. I'm gonna stop bagging on New England, though. I just like to tease you, because I know...
Oh, I know. It's okay. I can give it right back. I totally can.
Oh, yeah. You dish it out, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, Miss Megan, we would love to hear your story of how Jesus saved you.
Of course. I'd love to share. Being an American, being from the East Coast, I am probably your average blondie. I definitely think I am. I was raised in a Christian home. I have 3 older siblings. And my childhood was wonderful. It was all, bunnies and roses and rainbows, and I really can't complain about anything. I had parents who loved the Lord. They were involved in church. All my siblings loved the Lord. And up until 4th grade, I went to a private Christian school. Had a great group of friends. I think the hardest thing I probably ever went through up until that point was my best friend's mom passed away. And yeah, that was pretty much the extent. But everything changed... when I was in 5th grade, my private school closed due to money issues, and I went to public school. I was very sheltered. I was, like, extremely in shock when I went. I didn't even know what a swear was. I'd never heard it before, and so it was a huge culture shock. And I was exposed to a lot, and I was very influenced pretty easily, actually. A lot of my, I think, even, like, sin issues that I've struggled with come, in my mind, at least from that time. Whether it's, like, from my own image of myself, from what people said, or from sexual impurity, or even just from relational issues that I wasn't loving other people. So basically, started to get, I'm careful to use the word depressed, but I was towards that. I was just in sin, and I was just didn't know how to filter things very well, from a biblical perspective. So, I was very involved in my church, but, the church, it wasn't super personal. My church isn't extremely personal, so I didn't have a lot of very, like, deep relationships with people that could help me grow or learn about what God would have to say. And by the time sophomore year in high school rolled around, I was 2 weeks into school, and I had a major injury. I got a concussion and a spinal sprain in my neck. The first 2 weeks I couldn't walk, and I didn't get back to school full time for a year. So that was a big, big time in my life where a lot of things changed. It was a big transition for me, and I was really challenged. I couldn't do much. I was in bed a lot. I really, really struggled. I would finally be seeing signs of healing after a few months, and then I would hit my head, and I would relapse weeks in time. And it was just over and over again, waking up every day, being bored and just not knowing why I was waking up every day. I was in a lot of pain. I wasn't seeing anyone. I wasn't going to school, and it was just a daily struggle. And now I can look back, and I realize that during that time was something that God sent to be gracious to me. During that time, I actually, I'd advise people that if you pray for patients, you should mean it, because that's what I had done right before my concussion. I vividly remember praying for patients, and the Lord sent that injury into my life, and that is indeed what came out of it. So, definitely learned that. I grew really close to my mom, and I'm so thankful for that. She was with me every day. But more than those things, my time was spent listening to the Word, and not just the Word, but also my grandfather's seminars, or his sermons, and I was very convicted of a lot of sin in my life, and from that, I realized that I needed to repent, and I needed to get accountable, and so as I was healing and I was coming towards the end of going back into school, I went to someone in my church and I repented to the Lord, and I got accountable with that person, and I definitely see that as God being gracious to me, and just realizing that this background music, you know, is really fantastic up here. 10 out of 10. Yeah, so that was, I think, the first kind of, like, event in my life where my life was turned upside down, and I had to just accept it and know that this was God's plan for me. But when I really struggled was actually around the same time. So I got my concussion, and in the same year, my parents had a lot of marriage issues. Their whole, like, I think it was 25 years at that point of marriage, that had been amazing. I'd never seen two people love each other like they had, was flipped upside down within a matter of 2 weeks. There wasn't an affair that was physical or anything, but a lot of sin came out in my dad's life and throughout their marriage that my mom wasn't aware of, and needless to say, that turned into anger from my dad, and just continual fights broke out. So my family dynamic, needless to say, changed very, very quickly. Home wasn't the same, and it was like a lot of conflict all the time. My siblings and I were really hurting from it, and it created a lot of turmoil. And then about 2 or 3 years later, I was coming off to master's, and I think a lot of the things that I look back on and see, some of my biggest trials were, my parents were continually going through things. My dad actually, he got kicked out right before I came out here, and then my brother rejected Christ. He's one of my best friends, so that was big. And then my childhood friend overdosed, my grandmother passed away, my high school friend committed suicide, and then my other grandmother passed away, all within probably 6 months. My best friend also, she had gone to basic training, and she got back, and she gave me a call, and she pretty much came out and said that me and my family had like controlled her and judged her, and we had ruined her life. It was very dramatic. So basically, within just a short amount of time, my whole world had changed. So I didn't know how to process it. It was like hard to process the grief of 4 lives gone. It was hard to process the change in friendship. It was hard to process my parents and my siblings going through what they were going through. And I honestly didn't understand how God wanted me to handle it. I questioned if he was good. I questioned if things would be good again. I just wanted things to go back to normal. I thought God was just watching me struggle. And for a long time, I was struggling between bitterness and knowing that the Lord was good. And I think when change comes in our lives, we fight it and we want to react. And I realized that a lot of a lot of the things that came into my life, I reacted to. And looking back now, I can see that all of that pain and hurt was a blessing. It was a wake-up call. I think my family has changed drastically. I've changed drastically. And I see it, honestly, a lot for the better. I think I was so caught up in my own perspective and my own pain and hurt and circumstances that I didn't want to see God's perspective. I didn't want to see his heart on it and how he could use that. And something my mom recently said to me that I think summarizes it all well is that the pain we go through isn't pointless, because God grows our heart and changes it so that we can love others better. And I think that's an incredible motivation it has been for me, to know that all the pain and the things and I've experienced and gone through aren't wasted. They're not useless. And if I respond how God wants me to respond, I can see those things for what they are, and I can help someone. I can encourage them. I can come alongside them and say, hey, I don't get exactly what you're going through, but I do understand some of it. And I see that as an incredible blessing, and I now know that the gospel is worth it. Having the Lord by your side through those things is incredible. Being your best friend, your comforter, your encourager, that fellowship that I receive from him through every single thing, I would never trade in for anything. It's grown me, it's shaped me, and I've truly been changed by it. God has been good. I don't see all the things that have happened as my story, but I see them as God's story, and I see them as him using me for how he pleases. So, yeah.
Wow. That's an awesome story.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for being open and vulnerable, and I think I forget, because I see you every day, sometimes I forget all the things you've been through, and all the things God's brought you through, because you've come to radiate Christ and show such joy, you know, and I'm just always taken aback and in awe when I hear of everything that you've gone through, because it just reminds me of how precious you are, and how much God's really grown you in these past few years. I'm really grateful for that.
Amen.
Do you have any questions, Brooke?
What was a key factor for you in choosing to go to Masters?
During the time in middle school, I really struggled, and then my sophomore year when I was listening to my grandfather, he left a huge legacy behind, and I actually, from that, had a huge desire to help kids in middle school, and so I wanted to do counseling, and my two oldest siblings went here, and so I knew about the school, and my other sister and my parents went to Liberty, and so it was like a,
okay.
It was like a half and half family, like, wanting me to come here or there, so... Yeah, I prayed about it a lot, but I just heard about the counseling program and the Word of God taught here, and I really wanted to come out here.
So, very cool.
Yeah.
Just want a disclaimer, we're not sponsored by Masters.
No, we're not.
We just.
I always ask that because I didn't go to Masters, so I'm always curious to know why people chose Masters.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Especially since you lived, like, closer to Liberty. That's also why I was...
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting my master's at Liberty, probably, so there's that.
Okay.
But, yeah, that was the bachelor was the original.
That's awesome. I wanted to know, you talk about an era of struggles, right, that you were going through kind of everything at once, and how, I'm thinking specifically to your time in junior high, and I want to know, how does that influence you now? You mentioned that it influences just even the sins that you struggle with now. And when you sin, how do you balance knowing where it came from with not misplacing the blame. Mm. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Yeah, I think I have definitely played victim in the past of these are the things that happened to me, and kind of threw a pity party. I have done that often. So I totally get what you mean. I think, like, using your past as an excuse can be really dangerous. But in terms of sin, I think, for me, I've come to realize that it helps me understand my sin so I can deal with it, not so it can be an excuse. Mm. So I understand, you know, when I'm struggling with, fear of man, I see that as starting in middle school, I would say, in my heart, like as a big point, not that I didn't before, but just as a huge point. So I look back and realize, these were like the thoughts going on in my head, but why are those not true? Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that answers the question, but kind of like understanding that this is where it stemmed from, or maybe where it started, but, and that can help me understand it better. But the point is to become more like Christ. It is to become, it's to shape my thoughts and my wrong thinking to God's perspective and how he sees me and how he sees my situation. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and the tendency to sinfulness was already there.
Oh, for sure.
But it is almost, in a sense, maybe a blessing that you can see specifically where the sins that you struggle with today originated from, because you would have been sinful anyways, whether or not the struggles were different, but God gave you a blessing that you could see where they came from, so you could choose to have his perspective.
Yeah, that's a good point. For sure.
For sure.
For sure.
To anyone who may be going through a similar situation in regards to having parents that have had issues or come from a home where there's a lot of fighting or things like that, what would you want to say to them?
Yeah. One, I would say that if you don't have Christ, you're going to have a really hard time. Christ was so faithful to me. People will fail you. People will mess up, and they're very sinful, but God isn't. God is the only one that you can fully trust. In terms of that, I would just say, not only to be immersed in scripture, but to also be honest with your emotions. King David was very, very expressive. So when you are struggling with anger or sadness or whatever it may be in situations, and you're really struggling, it's okay to respond with emotion. It's okay to let God see your heart. But as long as you don't stop there, I would say take every thought captive. Make sure that your thoughts that you're thinking every day are being responded to with God's words, and not letting those slip away, because if you repeat thoughts, they can become habits and they can become lifestyles, and just guarding your heart in the way that you let out emotions and you're honest, but you also do that. I'd also for sure throw in there to just make sure you're involved in a church. If you can get someone to mentor you or disciple you, that's huge. That's, if you can have someone that's speaking truth into your life, that's incredible. And kind of in the vice versa, if you can serve somewhere or encourage someone else, that's a way to kind of take the focus off your own self and your own circumstances and really, really just help someone else grow or encourage them in that way.
And I think, just tagging on to that, like, you and I have found in our friendship several times that sometimes, like, what one of us is going through spiritually, the other will go through like a week later or something, even if we didn't talk about it. And so it gives us the opportunity to fellowship. It's cool to see how God can use that. You know, you never know how what you're going through could speak into someone else's life. And maybe that's why he has us going through something in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, being vulnerable is difficult, but it's worth it. Mm-hmm. And God calls us to be. So. Yeah.
I wanted to ask, you said you prayed for patience, which I think is, like, the classic, like, Christian no-no, but yet we all do it for some weird reason.
Or pray for trials. Oh. I don't know why
and God knows you, too, so he'll be like, all right, get ready.
Here you go. And he's faithful to answer that prayer.
Oh, yeah.
but I want to know, how does patience still play a role for your life? In just listening to your testimony, it sounds almost like that was like a prelude. You know, that time when you were going through a concussion and God was teaching you patience to what was coming. Mm-hmm. And how does patience still play a role in your life through your family struggles and through what you're going through in your friendships and friends that passed away, friends that left you? And, like, how did patience play a role in that?
Yeah. I think the majority of it has to do with understanding time better. In the sense of my perspective couldn't stay here. It had to become eternal.
Hmm.
So realizing that over the whole concussion period was just months and months and months of feeling like nothing had changed, and having to just wait on the Lord, having to just be content where I am, accept that this is where God has me. It helped me realize that God can do incredible things with where you're at if you let him. And so I think, yeah, going into all those things, I think it was so helpful because I realized that the point of my life isn't happiness, it's not great circumstances, it's not even my life being okay. It's honestly to glorify God. So it just made me realize that I really can go through anything, I can go through any circumstance if I'm content in Christ. So if he's my anchor, if he's holding me, then I can really go through anything. So I guess in terms of patience, it's just knowing that what really matters and what really is successful is God's work through what I'm going through. So it's just waiting on him. It's knowing that he's in control and it really doesn't matter what is ahead of me or what I'm facing. So.
Hmm. Yep. That's the stuff. That's the hard lesson to learn, but that's one worth learning. And it's evident to see that that's been a process, but it's cemented now into who you are. Hopefully, you know, hopefully for the rest of your days, you know, we all forget our lessons every once in a while and have to relearn a thing or two, but
that's
unique and cool to see that.
Yeah. Was there anything that was especially encouraging or you think would have been especially encouraging while you were going through grief? I don't know if you've heard, like, my testimony, but I also had someone pass away that was really close to me, and that played a big part in my testimony, and I just was curious what you would say. Like, I'm also curious, like, how you got through that.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm sorry I had to go through that.
I'm not. This podcast came from it, so.
Mm. Praise God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm trying to think. So be clear, like, it's something someone could do to encourage. What exactly was the question?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. Something someone could do or something that was encouraging to you when you were going through it. Whether it was, like, a person in your life or just God constantly showing you, like, his grace and reminding you that he works things together for your good. That was what he did for me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just, like, I don't know, just kind of anything.
Yeah. I think it was definitely people, people who were wanting to genuinely know how I was doing. And not only that, but wanting to go through it with me. So I guess mm-hmm. in terms of not just asking a short question, but really being like, hey, like, day-to-day things, what are you struggling with?
Right.
My sister's incredible. I'm just thinking back to it. And she, I would be having a rough couple days, and she would just call me out, and she would sit me down, look me straight in the eyes, and be like, hey, I see this in your life. What's going on? And at that time, you know, you're, like, so overwhelmed, and you're so, like, emotional and just hurting. You're in pain. But for my sister to be like, you can be in pain, but you also need to be honoring Christ. And so just having someone speak truth was actually really encouraging, because it reminded me that this isn't about me. It's not about what I'm going through. But yeah, I think for me personally, I'm a verbal processor. So also just having someone to listen to, like, yeah. It sounds small, but it was huge.
Yeah.
It was so big. And just knowing kind of that you have a buddy, you have a friend who, like, totally knows what you're going through and you're not alone in it. So, yeah. Yeah, just having that comfort of someone who you can trust and be yourself with while you're struggling.
Yeah. For sure.
Makes me think of the book of Job. How, like, the part of Job where his friends were actually good friends were the part where they sat in silence and just sat through it with him, you know?
Yeah.
And they didn't do anything. They just let him mourn and suffer. And then once they opened their mouths, that's when things got messy. They weren't calling him out in love. They were calling him out to say, call it quits, you know? Like, just say that you're a sinner. And he was like, oh, well, I haven't done anything wrong, you know. And I think so often it's easy to take that approach as a friend, to be like, hey, maybe you're sinning in this way and you didn't know it, you know, or like to try to solve the issues. And that's not how you help someone through grief. You can't solve grief. That's just something that you have to go through to reflect on Christ. And I think grief should cause us to reflect on the impermanency of life, but the permanency of Christ in eternity. And you can't solve that, because Christ already solved it. And so it should be a painful process. It's not fun that it is, but it's learning how to be a friend to point others to that truth in a way that's loving and understanding that it is a process.
But. Yeah. Definitely. Do you have any other questions?
I don't. If you do, do you have any more?
I don't.
Well then, Migs, do you have any scripture that you would like to share that's been a special encouragement to you?
Yeah, I do. I have one passage and then a book, so... the passage that's through all this became my favorite verse is 2 Corinthians 12. I think it's like 8 through 10. Mm-hmm. But it's a passage that says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Mm-hmm. And that was real for me, and such an encouragement, because I knew that the Lord was so active and doing incredible things through my pain, through my suffering, and I was just happy it was up to him. So that was extremely encouraging. And then I was just reading through Philippians with my good friend recently, and in general, just it's so encouraging to know the sufferings Paul was going through in prison and the beatings and everything, he still was so focused on the gospel and it being of worth, because God was giving it worth, and God was using it, and God was bringing his kingdom through what Paul was going through, and he was so excited about that. So that is also a passage that I've gone to and has been huge encouragement.
That's awesome.
Those are the kinds of passages. Wow. I think those are the kinds of passages that, as a general rule, Christians try to ignore or try to twist.
Yeah.
To say, this is how we get out of trials, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of embracing and trusting God's love and goodness through trials. And taking the humility, humble road, you know, because it takes humility to say, God, like, these trials are because you are good and better than I.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the greatest things about being saved is that we don't have to worry. We do have Christ, but then there's also people that use that and take it in out of context and say, well, I don't have to worry about anything, including sin, but... Anyway, that's
YOLO.
yeah, a little thing that has been encouragement is when I pray sometimes, I just say, hey, God, I know that you've allowed all these things in my life, and that's okay, but can I have a hug when I get up there?
Aww.
So that's something that's cute. Been encouraging.
I like that.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
We haven't really asked anyone this yet, but I have a question for you. What's a... Because you are, like, DJ extraordinaire, okay? But, like, what's a good worship song that's been an encouragement to you that you think others would find an encouragement to
That's
them?
A really good question. We should ask everybody this question.
I think we should, too.
Oh, shoot. You should have told me this before.
I didn't. This was on this. This is improv, guys.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
We can't edit this one, so sorry.
I have a lot of playlists. I think it's a song by Carrie Job. I think, yeah, Be Still My Soul, In You I Rest. It's a hymn, and it's kind of a call to, like, remind yourself, and instead of just listening to yourself and your thoughts, it's like a call to speak truth to yourself and your soul, and remind yourself of the Lord and being still in Him.
Okay, we're back. We got cut off. Classic.
Yeah, well, this will be edited in, or it'll just, like, flow, so they won't even know that we got cut off.
So we didn't even have to say that.
But it's okay. Now they know.
Hey, better to be above board and honest. Or I could trim
this out. I could also trim this out.
I mean, this is bloopers. This is the interesting part.
Yeah.
Yeah, not totally.
Okay, so we left off Meg's.
Uh-huh.
Megan. Mm-hmm. This is professional. We are not friends. Your favorite worship song is
Be Still My Soul.
Yes. Love Be it. Still My Soul and You I Rest. Carrie Job sings it. Yeah. It's good. Yeah. You should listen to it. Trust me.
I'm going to on my way home.
Yes.
Do it. I know when I was going through some stuff last year, like, one of the things that encouraged me a lot was that you sent me a playlist, or you sent me, like, a lot of worship songs to, like, get me through it. And, like, I remember one time just sitting at the calf reading scripture and just, like, listening to those songs on repeat and just, like, trying not to cry in front of people, but just, like, being so encouraged and being really grateful that I had a friend that cared enough about me to provide for me spiritually songs that would be an encouragement. So that's another way you can help.
Bro, I got playlists. Hit me up.
You got playlists for days.
Got so many playlists.
Mad's Heart Channel. She made a playlist called Mad's Heart Channel. Every time I hear a song, I go, ooh, put that on my heart channel. She puts it on the playlist.
I love it. That's cute.
Mm-hmm. Well,
true friends have playlists for each other.
Mm.
You hear that, Christine?
Oh, hold out.
Yikes.
Okay. I'm just kidding. Christine shares music with me all the time. Mm-hmm. We're music buddies.
I don't really share.
I don't think she has a playlist, though.
She's got to get on it.
I know. She's also a mother of two.
Well, no excuses, Christine. Please, mother of two. I'm in college, and I don't have a playlist for you either. I'm sorry.
There you go.
Man. Well,
thank you, Megan, so much for doing this.
Seriously, it means the world.
Yeah, and for taking the time to be vulnerable. I know that's not easy. At least it's not for me, but...
And articulate. I know that's kind of like a weird thing, but you've been very articulate and careful in how you've communicated, and I think it'll be a big encouragement to a lot of people listening that you communicated clearly what God has taught you.
Yeah. Praise God. Very well spoken.
Mm-hmm. Praise God. And I wanted to say thank you so much. I think this is awesome what you guys are doing. And I haven't gotten to listen to all the podcasts yet, but I'm getting there. I'm really getting there. I think it's awesome. It's super encouraging.
We appreciate that.
I think we're really grateful, and I think we love getting the chance to do it.
Yeah, for sure. I love doing it, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I love that you do it with me. I feel like God just provided the perfect person. So...
Huh?
Thanks. That's my bestie. So proud.
Oh, aw. No, seriously, I'm glad that this whole thing came about and that, like, he laid it on your heart. I think God orchestrated a lot of things. I was like, thinking about it, how, like, last week we got to use the software for the first time, and how, like, that was a birthday present from my family, and God knew when I got that it would be used to put the gospel on the internet years later. And just like how cool that he's like planted those little seeds and done those little things, you know?
Yeah.
Let's just pray we can continue to be faithful with it.
Yeah.
Well, hey, way to initiate.
Hey,
yeah. Awesome. Megan, it was lovely meeting you.
Likewise.
I'm very glad to have met you. Maddie talks about you a lot, so it was nice to finally put a face to the name.
Certainly. Nice to meet you too.
You're like, yikes.
I've heard infamous things of this podcast. And your work.
Oh.
Wow. Glad to see it in person.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, this has been the Before It's Too Late podcast with Maddie and
Brooke. I don't know why I said it like that.
Brooke. Thank you guys so much for listening. Tune in next time. We're going to have some wonderful testimonies lined up. Some people we're really excited for you to hear from.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be lit, fam.
Hashtag.
Oh, no.
I don't like when people add hashtag to the ends of things, but that's a story for next time. Tune in next time to find out why I get upset.
Oh. I knew that was gonna happen.
All right.
I'm too fidgety. Okay, bye. If what you've heard on this podcast is foreign to you or maybe doesn't make sense, we deeply encourage you to Google the website heartcrymissionary.com/gospel and click on the first link. We love you and we're praying for you, and thank you so much for listening.